Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 429, the third stanza. They all shall sing in joyful lays, and laud his ways with jubilation. For great is God in majesty, the Lord is he of all creation. The third stanza of Psalter 429.
Further, we wish to read out of God's holy and precious word out of the book of the out of Luke, thereof chapter 18, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, the first 17 verses. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal, a good-doing, long-suffering God of the heavens and of the earth, it is before thee that we appear once again in thy holy house of prayer. And we are not worthy, and not any one of us, to enter therein and to come before thee. But thou dost command us thereto, though that we are guilty, though that we are filthy, though that we are polluted, though that we are corrupt, that we may appear before thy face. It is such a wonder that thou dost yet bear with us. Oh, that thou may give us eyes to behold who and what we are in thy most holy sight. Oh, that we may learn to abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee. For thou dost say that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and that is not in word, but that is in power. Oh, then we need to feel that power, each and every one of us for ourselves. Oh, that power to raise us up out of the deadness of that spiritual death that deadness in vanity and in carnality, so that there is no feeling, that there is no knowledge of Thee, that there is no drawing toward Thee, so that we are dead to all that is of Thee, that is for Thee, that is unto Thee. Oh, to feel something of the power of that Spirit that raises a man to a new life and gives unto him what Thy servant did write, that his soul longeth for God, yea, for the living God. Oh, when shall I come and appear before God? Oh, that it may be felt and experienced in young and old together, and that those also that are not strangers thereof, and that yet do feel a great deadness, oh, that are brought into the captivity of Thy people, when they have left their first love, and when they are brought into the land of bondage, and then they feel again the necessity of Thy power, oh, to deliver them once again from the bands of unbelief, from the bands of slothfulness, oh, that they may once again come, as they may remember it was in the days of old, with joy and pleasure unto Thy house with the multitude, with the voice of rejoicing and of praise. Oh, then there can be such a longing that they may again feel something. Oh, that Thou wouldst then come with the power of Thy most Holy Spirit. Oh, do break the bands, and that Thou wouldst draw that we might run after Thee. Turn us, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Wilt Thou look upon young and old, give all together that we may feel something of that power also to deliver us from the strength of temptations. They are all about us and our children, our young people, and Satan, he does gain intelligence day by day, so that he knows how to come and to seduce a man and to bring him into the greatest depths. Oh, that Thou who alone art stronger than the devil and who is able to put him away with all his devices, that Thou mayest teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight. Oh, give us knowledge of his devices, but also give that will, that new and that renewed will, that may desire to fight, that may desire to stand, that may desire uprightness of heart before Thee, the true and the living God, that may desire to return unto our Maker, and that purpose for which that Thou hast made us. Oh, that we might live to Thy honor and to Thy glory, that with all that we have in this world, we may return Thy blessings and all our prosperity unto Thee, that Thou may give to us and unto our children strength and health continually, and also the blessing upon all the labors of our hands, that we may bring it all back unto Thee, that we may glory in Thy salvation, and that it may be for the service of mankind, and that it may be for the edification of one another and of our neighbor, as we all do travel together unto our long home. O Thy servant did say that we are strangers before Thee, and pilgrims as all our fathers were, and that our life here is but a moment, it is but an handbreadth, it is but a shadow, it is but a cloud, it comes a vapor and it disappears so very quickly. Oh, then we look back upon a short moment, a moment of preparation for a great and never-ending eternity. Oh, then we ask ourselves, what have we done? And with all the blessings and the time that is given unto us, oh, that we may not use our time and our blessings in preparation for that great and that notable day. Do look upon us, remember our children and our youth, the teachers of our school, that do stand before our children each and every day with a great responsibility. Wilt thou give them to feel this not only, but also a place at thy footstool, that they may receive from thee what is necessary to set that example before our children, that may lead also them with desires unto thee, the true and the living God, that they may be provokers of a holy jealousy, and that our children and that our youth may see while they are still young, that they miss something that is so very valuable and so very precious, that thou may bless the instruction that they may receive in that place, and that thou may give more teachers in the midst of us and of our denomination, for thou knowest the great lack, or that thou may give those especially, may it be a young men, who may have a desire to give themselves unto this great and valuable work, or that they may receive from thee a new heart, or that they may receive from thee an insight into those things which matter, and that they may have a desire to be used as a little tool, as a little instrument in thy holy fingers, that they may be of a benefit to the rising generation. Lord, that thou may do so amongst us, but also in the midst of the entire denomination, and that thou may look upon all those that bring thy word also, those that instruct in the midst of the congregations. Remember the elders and the deacons, those that are given offices in the church. They must do their labors, but may they do them in dependence upon thee, and thy servants also, to receive what is necessary from above. Do look upon all those that rule and reign over us, oh, that thou may increase the number of those who desire to bring us back to thy word and to thy testimonies. Give strength to fight that warfare, and that is also being fought in our nations. That is that warfare that is against thee, the Son of God. Oh, that thou may give us rulers who may bring us back unto thy law. Do look upon all those that have difficulties of mind or of body, those that are cared for by doctors, those that have needs which are known unto thee. O Lord, that thou may give them also a place at thy footstool, and that they may feel something of the power of thy great goodness, that it may also in a providential way, in a way of outward blessings, also be experienced and felt, and that thou art alive, and that thou hearest the needy when they cry, or that thou may look upon all those that are needy, and do supply for them over the length and breadth of this whole world. For there are those who are hungry and thirsty, and there are those who are naked and destitute, there are those that suffer wants and cares, and they have no knowledge of thee, and they have no place to go. Oh, that thou may bring thy word to the ends of this world, and give that thy kingdom may come. look upon us also in this afternoon hour, that thou may help us, O Lord. And may thou give thy Spirit in a rich measure, for we stand in need of instruction from thee, that we may also instruct others. Then we can try to study, but Lord, then it all needs to come from above. Oh, then we are so dependent upon thee. Oh, we ask it of thee, Lord, that thou may remember us in this afternoon as a congregation, that there may be food in thy house, that there may be instruction for those that are ignorant, that there may be food for those that are hungry, that there may be reproof for those that are wayward, and that there may be a blessing out of thy heavenly store, that thou wouldst come as the dew, and that thou wouldst deal with us not according to our sins, but that thou wouldst do as thy servant did say, thy gentleness hath made me great. O remember us then this hour, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 174, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Through pain and trouble thou hast led and humbled all our pride, but in the end to liberty and wealth thy hand did guide. The last collection today is for the treasured meditation, Psalter 174, stanzas 2 through 4. congregation, the words of our text can be found in the portion of God's Word that was read to you, Luke 18, and thereof the 14th verse. Luke 18, verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So far, the words of our text. The objects of justification. First, the Pharisee who was not justified. We read, rather than the other. And second, the publican who was justified. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Thus, the objects of justification. First, the Pharisee who was not justified. And second, the publican who was justified. I tell you, who says that? I tell you. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Son of God. That is God Himself. That He says, I tell you. Is that not a wonder? And that the God of the heavens and of the earth, that our Creator, that our Maker, that He tells us, and that He communes with us, that He says to us what His will is for us, that He gives to us commands, and that He gives to us His Word. We read in God's Word that that Word of the Lord that shall endure forever. Thus that Word of the Lord that is different from the Word of man. He says, I tell you, I who am the Son of God, I who am God Himself, I whose word that does never change, whose word that ought to be hearkened unto, I tell you. And not only so, but He makes, as it were, in this expression, He makes a confirmation. He assures His hearers, as it were, He who does not need to assure us simply because of who that He is, because His word ought to be taken at His word, but even He Himself, that He does come with this before what He brings to say, I tell you. He says, hearken unto me, for this is the truth. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Thus the Lord Jesus, He speaks about a very, very important matter. It is the matter of justification. What is justification? We say to our youth, justification, that is to show that we are right with the law. Is that important? To show that we are right with the law? Oh, how many lawyers are today paid large sums of money that they may appear in the courts before judges and juries with the attempt to justify their clients, that they may show that to that jury and to that judge that this man, that this woman, that this child, they are right with the law. And that you ought to declare them, you ought to justify them, you ought to say also in a legal manner that they are indeed right with the law. Oh, how interested we will be in that matter, whether we are right with the law in the day that it comes our turn to appear in the court. Oh, you say, is that day coming that I will also stand at the bar, that I also will be cross-examined, that I also must give an account? Oh, it may be for some that we will have to appear one day in this life when there comes an accusation against us, that we also have to come to appear in the court. Oh, then the Lord give to us truth, that we say the truth when we indeed put up our hand, and when we place our hand upon the Word of God, and that we testify truly unto that truth. But then how interested we will be that we also may be justified. But we will have our day in the court, each one of us in the end of our life. Every man in the entire world understands this. They know this, and that innate knowledge, therefore that fear to die and to stand before God, because then I have to give an account. Oh, then in that day, how interested we will be that we also will be justified, that we will be shown to be right with the law. The Lord Jesus here confirms and he assures his hearers that there is such a people, because he speaks not just about earthly courts, but he speaks about that heavenly court. And thus he assures his hearers that indeed there will be those who will be standing before their heavenly judge, who will there be justified, who will there be shown to be right with the law. Is that not a wonder that there is such a people? Because by nature there is not such a people. Because the scriptures, they do say that we are all conceived and born in sin, and that there is not one that doeth good. And yet the Lord Jesus is here speaking about a people who are justified, a people who in the sight of God, they are standing good with his holy law. Oh, there is nothing that should concern us more in our life, children, also for you, because we have seen it, have we not, that we do not need to be old to die, and then we all need the same thing, that is, we need to be justified, we need to be shown to be right with the law, and that has to happen in our life. And that may happen in our life. It needs to happen in the time that the Lord Jesus, he tells here, who are justified. And he describes what is necessary for justification in order that we may become right with the law. How does he do this? He speaks about two men. He says, this one was justified, rather than, he says, the other. And then he describes those two men. He describes them in their outward conduct. And he describes them also in their inward conduct. He describes what is taking place in the deepest recesses of their hearts. How does he do that? But he speaks about their prayers. Their prayers. Why? Because prayer. In prayer, then we are exposing what is living in the deepest recesses of our hearts. Or not? Or is it always form? Or is it always custom? Or do you tell the Lord, children? Your mother, your father, they teach you to pray, yes. But sometimes do you also pray for yourself when you bend your knees? The needs that are living already in your life. Do you tell the Lord your fears? Do you tell the Lord your sin? Do you acknowledge Him for all that He gives to you? And do you go to Him for help in all your needs? Or if we may see a little into the supplications of a man, then we may see a little into his heart. And then we may see a little of what is living inside of him. And this is now what the Lord Jesus here is doing. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Thus he gives us their names. And by these two names, then there is so much that is revealed about these two men immediately. Just by what he calls them, a Pharisee and a publican. And then immediately all of his hearers, then they have an image in their mind that he knows, they know what kind of persons that the Lord Jesus is speaking about. And then we must understand that it was a little different in those times than it is today. Because when we say the word Pharisee, then there is for us already a negative connotation. But it was now just the opposite. For the people to whom that the Lord Jesus is speaking. When the Lord Jesus says the name of a Pharisee, and then he is speaking about a religious man, and he's speaking about a man who is a very careful man, a man who is living in this life as a good example, a man who is, we would say, so we say sometimes he does not dare to step over a straw. Oh, that is the way that it was in the life of a Pharisee. He was a good man. He was a religious man. This was often the office bearers, the law-abiding citizens of that church of God. A Pharisee. He is an example, think of Saul of Tarsus. He also was a Pharisee. And that man, he lived a very good life. And then the Lord Jesus says, the other man, he was a publican. And thus immediately in the eyes, in the mind, but also in the feelings of all the hearers that are about the Lord Jesus, there comes something, a publican. Well, who is a publican? A publican, well, he was one of that Jewish people, but the people, they saw him as a traitor because he was one of the renegade Jews. He is one that worked for the enemy. He is one that worked for the Romans. He collected the taxes for the Romans. They said, that is a man, he is a traitor. And then he is taking our money and he is giving it unto the Romans. He is in cahoots, we would say, with the enemy. And not only so, but those publicans were often rich, not because they have received their riches as in an honest way, but in a dishonest way. Because those publicans, they often exacted more of the people than they were supposed to do, and the people they didn't know. And so they had freedom, and the Romans, well, they just laughed at that. Then they were taking advantage of their own people, and so they have gotten rich, so that they had beautiful possessions. the publicans, and so that bring a feeling in the heart of these hearers immediately when the Lord Jesus is saying that these two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. We would say, how does the publican come there? What is he doing there? Why does he want to be there in the house of God? How does he dare to come there? How does he even want to pray? How can he pray? That is what we do by nature. That is what the Lord Jesus is showing unto this multitude. What does James say? He says, we are partial in ourselves. We are judges of evil thoughts. Let us listen a moment. We're going to listen to whom? We're going to listen to the Son of God. We're going to listen to Him to whom men pray. He is the recipient of prayer. He hears that prayer. So he knows what is in the prayers of men, what is in our prayer, what is in your prayer. And now he describes what he hears out of the hearts of men. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I thank thee that I am not as other men are. What is that? That is a comparison. He compares himself. He sets himself over against whom? Over against other men. Is that wrong? That is not necessarily wrong. The Lord Jesus, he did that too. When he compared, he said, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in thee have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they had repented long ago in dust and in ashes. Thus he compared them, men against men, the cities, two Jewish villages, Chorazin, Bethsaida, against two Phoenician cities. And the Lord Jesus, he said, he made them ashamed. It would make them embarrassed. And when he said how that those Gentiles, they would have acted, and how that you have acted. No, it is not always a wrong thing to set men one over against another. We read also in God's word that he not only shames men in this way, but he also sets an example sometimes unto men by other men. Because Jeremiah, he was to set those Rechabites who obeyed the command of their father in a thing that was neither right nor wrong, but was simply the command of their father not to drink wine. And they obeyed the command of their father and the Lord. He would have Jeremiah to set those men as an example before his own people that they may follow this example. What is then wrong here with what this Pharisee did? Well, this Pharisee justified himself by this comparison. So he tried to show that he was right with the law by comparing himself to other men. But other men, they are not the standard for justification. You understand that. And when a judge He brings us before the bar. Then he will not compare us just to other men, but he will compare us line by line with what is written in the law. Thus, this Pharisee, he makes here a great mistake. And thus, he also makes another mistake, because that law that has not only to do with the things that are outward, but has especially to do with the things that are inward, with the intents of the heart. And then even the judges of our land, they will look past sometimes the outward deed, that they may look at the motive of a person, what has caused him to act, that they may give to him his sentence. I am not as other men are. Do we do this too? Probably it is true, and that this Pharisee was no outward extortioner. Probably it is true that he could say that he was a just man in his judgments. Probably it is true that he was no adulterer, and that is good. But there is something else that was living so evidently in his heart. And what was that? Well, we all feel it. We all feel it. There was living in his heart a great pride. What is pride? Pride is a feeling. Pride is a feeling of superiority above other persons. Pride is a comparison. I compare myself with another man, and I lift myself up, and I deprecate him, I depreciate him, as if I am more worthy than this person. That is now pride. Pride is not the same thing as what we sometimes call self-approbation or self-approval. When you do something, children, that is right, when your mother says you must do this, and you do it, and you have in you a good feeling, where does that good feeling come from? That good feeling comes from the Lord. Is that not a wonder? That the Lord gives persons in this world, still in his calm and grace, a good feeling, that when they do what is outwardly right, that is called self-approbation, then we approve of our own actions as being actions that are good, actions that are right. There is nothing in my conscience that accuses me, but there is only an approval. This is a great blessing from the Lord. A little further than this, and then man, he is often looking also for the approval of his fellow man. Our children do this. They look for the approval of mother. They look for the approval of father. And father and mother will give that to them. They will say to them, you did it well. That is what the Lord Jesus also did. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And when our children look for this approval of others, and they receive that approval, they have that approval of their own heart, and they have that approval of mother and father. All this that is not pride. This is what is natural. This is what is God-given, that this world may yet exist as men that may still walk together in love and in unity. How is pride different? Or pride that is comparing myself, we said. Pride that is comparing myself, and it is lifting myself up. So in that comparison, then it is necessary that my neighbor, he is lowered. Even all comparison with others, that is not sinful. Because we as parents also know that we know more than our children. We know that we are stronger than our children. And we may know all this without the least pride. Thus a man, he may know of the gifts that he has, that those gifts that are more than the gifts that the Lord has given to someone else. This is not yet pride. What is now pride? Oh, it is as soon as I begin to feel superior. It is as soon that I begin to lose that sight of who that has given to me these gifts, then I have fallen into this sin. You know, children, sometimes you have to do art. And if you have something that is now white, then you can show just how white it is by putting behind it a black backdrop. So that when a person is looking at your white object, that will appear ever whiter and brighter, so that you cannot even look at it, perhaps because the backdrop that is so black. And now it is this black backdrop that is pride. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess by law. Then he was only required to fast once in a year. But he fasted twice every week. He was only required to tithe his gains. He was only required to give a 10% profit, a 10% upon his profits. But this man, he says, I give much more. I give that tithe of everything that I possess. Or we would say, this is now a generous man. There is nothing wrong with doing these things. If his heart that is inclined so to give, of itself it is not sinful. But now to bring down behind all of his white works, to bring down behind it this black backdrop, that he may make that white to shine ever brighter. This is now the sin of this man. It is his own self-exaltation at the expense of his neighbor. And when he is not called to judge his neighbor. What did the Lord Jesus say of this Pharisee? He said to him, he did not go down unto his house justified. Indeed, he justified himself. He tried to show that he was right with the law and that he had done much more than the law had required. He justified himself, but he was not justified, the Lord Jesus says, by his judge. He was not justified by God. He did not know what lived in his own heart, and he was continually looking down upon his sinner, the sinners that are in the earth. And he failed to look upward to the righteousness of God. And now the Lord Jesus says, He that exalteth himself, he shall be abased. Why? Because he says, except your righteousnesses exceed the righteousnesses of the scribes and of the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. Let us sing 40, 1, 2, 5, and 6. The law that the Lord has ordained is perfect, and the soul to restore. His truth makes the simple most wise, the truth that is sure evermore. 1, 2, 5, and 6 of Psalter 40.
Thank you.
our second thought, the publican who was justified, and a publican standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Standing afar off, the publicans, we said they were despised by the Jews. The Jews, they would not allow them to come into the temple, into the synagogue. They were not allowed to speak, apparently also for themselves, before the judge. And now this man, we read, he stands afar off. He does not object to that practice of that Jewish people, that he is not allowed to come past the very entrance of that outer court. No, he does not feel himself worthy to come into that house of the Lord, we read, and that he did not dare to lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. And why not? Because of shame. He is ashamed before a holy and a righteous God. Or were we ever ashamed before a holy and a righteous God? He compares himself unto God. He compares his life unto the commands, unto the law, the righteous law of God. And thereby he feels his sinfulness. He feels his guilt. He feels his corruption. We have now had that law expounded to us from commandment to commandment. Over how many Sabbath days? Or has it now brought us into the same place as it has brought this publican? And when we have heard the command and the requirement of the Lord for our outward life, and the command and the requirement of the Lord, the perfection of his law, for the motives and the intents that are living in our heart, oh, then is it also in our own life that we have gone out of this place not daring to lift up our eyes unto heaven? Humility, that is the opposite of pride. Humility is also coming by a comparison. And when we see alongside of ourselves someone who is so much superior unto ourselves, that maybe when we are standing next to our fellow man, or then when we have someone who is very, very strong, or who is very, very wise, and then we feel their superiority, so that we are receiving a feeling of humility. But there is no humility like that is entering into the heart of a man when the Lord is giving to us impressions of the holiness of God, of his holy law, of his holy word, or when we may enter, as it were, into his presence, when the Lord may give to us by his Spirit to see with spiritual, with new eyes, who and what he is, and that a man is coming to lay in the dust before this God. Humility. Humility is not bowing down our head like a bulrush, we read in the Word of God. Humility that is not speaking negatively about ourselves. Oh, it can be that when we are doing such things, we are only looking for the applause of men. Or it can be from a low self-esteem, but that also, that is not humility, although those things And they certainly can coincide. But what is now the reason that this man, he will not dare to lift up his eyes unto heaven? We read, he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So to smite upon the breast, that was a sign in that time. That was a symbol of contrition. It was a symbol of self-deprecation, of depreciation. And that he says, oh, what have I done? How have I lived? Oh, then we read that David, that he said, that it says that his heart smote him. And so this man, he also smites upon his breast. That is, if he says, oh, I deserve to be smitten. I deserve to be punished. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord, he says that this man, he prayed only 7 words. That was not very long. Not in comparison with this prayer of this Pharisee. And so the Lord Jesus, he shows that it is not lying in the length of our prayer. Oh, it is not lying in all of the contents that we may try to bring forth. But he says it is lying now in the truth of the matter. It is lying in the attitude of the heart of that man, a sinner. That is what this man calls himself. He does not say, I am one who has sinned. No, he says, I am one who does sin. He calls himself, he names himself by this name, a sinner. He says, that is now my life. That is now my whole existence. That is not what is outward, but is what is inward, all that comes out of my heart, a sinner. Then he says, I cannot do anything except to bring forth sin. Actually, in the original language, it is said that the meaning that is not actually a sinner, but the meaning is actually the sinner. What is that? The sinner that results from a comparison. Then he is comparing himself to every man that is in this world. And when he looks about him in the entire world, he says, here is the sinner. Oh, the Pharisee, he compared himself also to every man. And when he compared himself to the whole world, then he found himself to be the most righteous. He said, I thank thee, O God, that I am not like other men. And now when the publican, he compared himself to other men, then he came in the most sinful, the most wretched, the sinner, or as if he says, the only sinner, the worst sinner in this whole world. Oh, you see, the worst sinner. How can that be? You are not worse than all those Romans. They are heathen people. They don't even believe in God. Oh, he says, that is what makes me worse than they, because of the knowledge that I have as a Jewish man, because of the responsibility that I have that they do not have. Oh, so he says, the sinner. This is now what the Lord is teaching his people. Oh, did the Lord ever bring you in as the sinner? As worse than all the heathen? As worse than all the Gentiles? A religious man? One who has the truth? one who is trained even from his very youth, who has known better and who has sinned against light, who has sinned against judgment. What did the Lord do to Paul, to Saul of Tarsus? Oh, he brought him in so that that man had to say, of whom I am the chief. That is necessary. That is necessary to become the sinner before God. Why? Why? Because the Lord Jesus, he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. What does he say? This is now the necessary instruction. This is now the necessary preparation for justification. Say, how is that possible that such a man can be justified? How is it possible that such a man can be shown to be right with the law? Such a publican. That is the very reason that by nature we attempt to justify ourselves, because we do not see, we do not understand how it is possible for a sinner to be justified. But that publican could not justify himself anymore. He says, I am nothing but a transgressor of that law of God. How can then such a man be shown to be right with that law? Oh, there was only one way left for him. And what way was that? The Lord Jesus says it. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy is my only hope. Mercy, that is my only plea. Oh, that cry for mercy that foregoes all merit, all goodness from my own side. That cry for mercy that foregoes all worthiness from my own side. Oh, that cry for mercy that is depending solely and alone upon the righteousness of the Son of God, of that perfect righteousness that was brought in by Him, in whom His Father is so well pleased. Oh, this cry of a sinner, it is looking to the sovereignty of God. It is looking to the compassion of the Lord. It is looking to the long-suffering of the Lord. It is looking indeed even to the justice of the Lord. But it is looking especially unto the mercy of God, unto the grace of God, whereby that He can justify one who is indeed a sinner. It is crying, have mercy, oh mercy. It is crying for what? It is crying for a righteousness that is more than all the righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees. A righteousness whereby indeed he can be shown to be right with the law. The law. And now this cry, God be merciful to me, the sinner. The Lord Jesus says, this cry that was heard by God, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. This man went down to his house right with the law. God, the righteous judge of the heavens and of the earth, did impute to this man freely out of free and sovereign grace the righteousness of his own dear son. God, the righteous judge, has written on his account all the active and all the passive obedience that was accomplished by his son. O God, the righteous judge, he has done his own good pleasure. He did not need to do it. But at his own good pleasure, he has taken all the transgression that was lying on the account of this man and that was on that accusation that was given and standing there before that judge. He has taken it all away and he has written it upon the account of his own dear son. And he has esteemed it all to be borne upon that cross in Calvary, so that there was nothing anymore that was attributed to this man that he must be punished by the Lord. Oh, the Lord, he says that he has cast all his sins behind his back, and that he has put them away into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Congregation, it is really so simple, is it not? It is not so difficult, boys and girls. What do we need? The Lord Jesus shows what we need in this simple story for something that is so, so important. As all of us are going to our long home, as all of us are traveling to that day that we will have to stand at the bar of justice, and what do we need? Oh, we need to become the sinner before God. Oh, we need to cry, as this man cried, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, will you ask the Lord, open my eyes, because by nature we are like this Pharisee. We are just like this Pharisee. Oh, we say, I thank thee, Lord, that I am not as other men are. I am not as the heathen are. I am not as the world is. My life is different. Or maybe we even say my heart is different. And then we thank the Lord for these things in our eyes. They are blinded. Oh, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to make you the sinner, that you may truly name yourself by this name, that you may call yourself by this name, that it may not be only outward, but that it may be truly what the name that you give to yourself within your heart. Oh, there are means. Do not only ask for it, because there are means to learn it. And those means, they are not to compare ourselves with our fellow man. Because then we can try always to make ourselves to appear white by putting some black backdrop behind us, and to make our righteousnesses, our supposed righteousnesses, to appear. But oh, do compare yourself, oh, lay yourself next to that word of the Lord, that law of the Lord, which is a schoolmaster we read unto Christ. Young people, sometimes you compete with one another. When you are in school, Be careful. Be careful, because we understand it is used that you will do better. But be careful, because there is so much evil that is living in our heart. And when you compete with one another, do you ever come out the best? Do you ever come out the smartest? Do you ever come out the strongest? Do you ever come out the fastest? Or when you do not come out the best, or is it in your heart that you would come out the best, that you are attempting to find the black backdrop to compare yourself with? Oh, may the Lord instruct you and every one of us of that wickedness that is living in our heart, that we may loathe ourselves, and that we may smite upon our breast and say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, teach us who we are. O make us to see our guilt, our filth, our corruption, the evil motives, the desires, the affections that live within our hearts, that we may truly abhor ourselves and before Thee, the true, the living, the holy, the righteous God. Oh, teach us to smite upon our own breasts. And wilt Thou have mercy upon us, to open unto us that blessed and precious obedience in an active and a passive way of Thy dear and most beloved Son, who has purchased for that wicked people, even as we read in Thy Word, for the ungodly, that they may be justified. Oh, forgive Thou all of our many sins, and give Thy Word a place this day in the heart and life of each and every one of us. Help us now, when we depart from Thy house, give that it may be profitable. Humble us under Thy gifts and blessings and Thy help also in this service, and help and keep each one, the children in this week, watch over, keep from sin, danger, accident, a sudden and an unexpected death, and wilt Thou care for each one in the labors of our hands. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 402, 1, 2, 4, and 6. Oh, sing ye hallelujah. 'Tis good our God to praise. 'Tis pleasant and becoming to Him our songs to raise. 1, 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter 402. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.